Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:30 British Summer Time. Today is September 22nd. Well, this has been another day in which the dollar stock market and commodity market symbiosis has been very much in evidence. The main thing that's happened in here today has been that the fact that the dollar, having steadied somewhat over the last 3 or 4 days, was considerably weaker against a whole slew of currencies in here today. And it was weaker by a full cent against the Australian dollar, the euro, the pound, almost a full cent against the Canadian dollar, and the New Zealand dollar pushed upwards to new high ground in a rather dynamic fashion. So we see that the dollar remains under pressure, and the progression of lower highs that have been in evidence for much of the last few months are very much intact. And when we translate that into the impact that this large funding currency is having on risk type assets, well, we can in stock markets we continue to see that you have the progression of higher lows for the majority of stock markets remain in place. And in the in the commodity markets, the big commodities such as gold remains within sight of the $1,000 mark and was stronger by over $10 in here today. The silver pushed back above $17. Platinum bounced above the $1,300 level and closed out the day $10 firmer. And the commodity complex generally was reasonably firm in here, with oil bouncing again from the lower side of the range that's been ongoing for much of the last couple of months. Certainly the inverse relationship between the dollar and stock markets is very much evident in the fact that you have this really quite well-defined downtrend for the dollar against a large number of currencies and uptrends that are well-defined for stock markets. And there's an interdependency there, and we're unlikely to see a larger reaction unfold in stock markets without a corresponding rally in the US dollar. In the bond markets today, they were relatively steady and they continue to range. The vast majority of these government bonds in the US, the UK, and Europe remain in these ranges that have been ongoing for the last few months. There was also news today that the Fed are starting to talk about how they might introduce repo or reverse repo agreements with a number of counterparties in order to drain some of the liquidity out of the system without actually having to raise interest rates. That is very much in an exploratory type of situation right now, and we're nowhere near the time when central banks are actually going to start removing the stimulus from the system. And monetary conditions are remarkably accommodative, and that really does trump everything else. We're in the early stages of a new bull market. The yield curve is at a spread that hasn't been seen since 2003, and prior to that it was in the early 90s, coinciding with the aftermath of the savings and loan crisis. And we remain in this situation where we have weak currencies, we have very low interest rates, and we have central banks and politicians in the very much singing from the same song sheet that they want asset markets to appreciate, they want the financial system to stabilize, and they're bailing out the financial sector via the yield curve. And all of this is supportive of a bull market in risk type assets. And when we translate that into the performance that we've been seeing in stock markets and commodities over the last 6 months, we get a very swift idea of exactly where it is that investors are putting their capital to work. And that's unlikely to change until we get some form of catalyst. And given the fact that we do have this symbiotic relationship between the dollar and risk assets, then a change in one half of that equation could translate very quickly into a change in the other, and it could turn into a self-feeding type of of move, but we don't have any evidence of it just yet. We continue to see that the progressions of higher lows in stock markets remain very much intact. And when you look at some of those lagging markets, such as the S&P or a number of those European indices, they've pretty much all broken upwards from their bases at this point, and they are improving upon that upward break. And these advances continue to look really quite consistent. When we do eventually move into a more reactionary type environment, then the strong likelihood is that we're going to see reactions back towards the mean for leading markets and probably something similar for lagging markets, provided they can hold on to the majority of their gains, particularly over the last few months. And in the short term, as long as the short-term progression of higher lows remains intact, I don't think anyone is going to become particularly spooked by any type of reversionary type action that unfolds from one day to the next. And looking at this dollar, when you look at it in such a range of currencies, and particularly the commodity-producing currencies, it is getting progressively weaker. It's rather difficult to make a bullish case for why one would want to hold US dollars beyond their safe haven status in a reversionary type of move, and that's certainly not underway at the moment. And people are starting to vote with their feet in terms of what currencies they want to hold. And we're starting to see as well, of course, that with the global economy now moving into a recovery type footing, that some countries are recovering considerably faster than others, and that's being priced into currency markets particularly. And for the foreign investor who is looking abroad and looking at the value of his domestic currency, then relative to some of the better performers, we can see that some of the best performing emerging markets have also had some of the better performing currencies against the US dollar. Indonesia is a particularly strong example of that, as is the Brazilian market. And what they have in common is the fact that they are commodity producers. And when you factor in the fact that you've got Australia and Canada both being relatively less affected by the credit crisis in a considerably better economic footing than some of those economies that were more affected by the credit crisis, that they continue to have the support of their commodity producers in the export market, and their currencies are appreciating in a rather consistent way. Now, we see that some countries are starting to talk about intervening in the currency markets to slow down or reverse the ascent of their currencies. And certainly the Swiss Central Bank has been particularly vocal on that point. And with the Swiss franc moving to another new high against the dollar, it does appear to be only a matter of time before we start to see that central bank starting to make some of those threats a bit more concrete. But Switzerland has also been hit particularly hard by the credit crisis, and they are probably more motivated to have a weaker currency than some of these commodity producers. So it really does behove one to keep an eye on or keep an ear open for what central bankers are talking about in relation to their own currencies, because right now nobody wants a strong currency, but some countries are a bit more motivated than others to make sure that theirs doesn't appreciate too much. And the US dollar is, or the US economy and the US government, regardless of any rhetoric that may come out in favor of a strong dollar, they are probably more motivated than anyone else to have a weaker currency. And certainly the British pound over the last few weeks particularly has been reflective of the fact that the Bank of England has no interest in having a stronger pound anytime soon. So there are major differences in the relative health of the various major economies in the world, and certainly we're getting very consistent moves in the currency markets, which are being reflected also in some of the better performing stock markets. And this relationship that is unfolding, our heavy reliance on the fate of the dollar, is an interesting turnaround, because it wasn't that long ago when people were really talking seriously about carry trades being some a thing of the past. But of course, it's nothing more than a funding mechanism, and a rather effective one when central banks are falling over themselves to pump liquidity into the system. And I think with that thought, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.